Thank you, Jose. I'll start with turning the light off. On to it. Okay. Oh, sorry. So, I want to acknowledge contribution of two people for now. Georgia Benkert, who invited me to join BC1 project and made me interested in the construction between different categories. And John Faulkner for bringing my attention to a specific class of algebras, namely Lie triple systems. So I will talk about connections between Lie algebras and Lie triple systems, in fact, between the category of Lie triple systems and the category of Lie algebras. Yes, I guess another thing which I want to done right away is to tell you the restrictions. Having Kevin in the audience, I'm not comfortable saying that the characteristic is not 2 and 3. Well, fortunately, I don't have to do that. What I'm going to speak about is free of characteristic restrictions. It works for fields of any characteristics. Even more, the version I'm going to present works over fields, but there is a version which works over rings. And it might be important if you want to maybe look at, you know, if you want to replace, say, groups with group schemes and see for some, look for some generalizations. I will remind you briefly what a Lie triple system is. It is a vector space with trilinear map such that the following three identities are satisfied. They were introduced by Elie Cartan about a century ago when he was studying certain geometrical objects. Actually, Jacobson was the one who provided an axiomatic version of Lie triple systems, and then Yamaguchi improved. So I think the versions of axioms which you see is the Yamaguchi version of Lie triple systems. There are two natural examples. One is just take a Lie algebra and consider double commutator and that product. Almost obviously satisfies these three identities. In particular, any subspace of Lie algebra which is closed under double commutator satisfies these identities and hence is a Lie triple system. And really kind of the way how to get regular examples of Lie triple systems, I call it main example, if you start with a Z2 graded Z2 graded Lie algebra and look at one component, because of Z2 graded properties, L1 is closed under double commutator and hence gives you a triple system. And in fact, it was known after Jacobson, I guess, that any Lie triple system can be obtained in this way. That's why it's called main example on my slide. One way to see that is to make a construction of Lie algebra from a triple system. The construction relevant for my talk is the universal construction which is made by Jacobson. It is universal in this sense that for any, well, there is a Lie algebra, L of T, and there is an embedding, omega, such that for any other embedding of T into another, possibly, Lie algebra, there is a unique Lie algebra homomorphism phi, which makes this diagram unique. And the construction, so basic idea is quite natural, you consider a free Lie algebra generated by the space T and you mod out the natural identity. Although if this construction is natural, it may be inconvenient at times to work with. You know, for example, you have to make an argument a little bit, say, if you have a finite dimensional Lie tuple system, why the Lie algebra is finite dimensional and some other. Oh, I mean, this argument's not hard, I guess, but they should be in place, at least. Now, another thing about the Lie algebra from this construction, the so-called universal embedding, is that it is Z2 graded, and the grading you see, I mean, the grading is the copy of T inside of L and then the commutator of T. It is immediate from construction, or almost immediate, that what you have is a functor from the category of Lie tuple systems to the category of Lie algebras, but since you already noticed that you have, in fact, Z2 graded Lie algebra, it is, in fact, functor from the category of Lie tuple systems to the category of Z2 graded Lie algebras. That's my definition for this category here. Another thing which is immediate from the universal property of this construction, that there is an adjoint for this L of T. Namely, you know, well, first of all, I guess there is a forgetful functor which I call R. Well, what it does, it just simply forgets the zero component of Z2 graded Lie algebras, giving you the triple system. It is easy to see that it is a functor. And this functor R is adjoint to this functor, right adjoint. Yes, sir. Somehow counterintuitive to me, I'm sorry. Well, in fact, I'm about to say some result, but what I'm using in my work studying this functor is not the construction which was suggested by Jacobson, but a different construction, and it is easy to describe this construction, so I'll do it here. And the construction, I just want to tell you that the idea for this construction comes from Bruce Allison and Yun Gao's work on Steinberg unitary Lie algebras, and Erhard told us about this work today. And what they did, they showed how to construct in a universal way an extension for graded objects. Well, gradings are different, but still the idea which they had, we used the idea for BC1 graded Lie algebras with Georgia, and then if you take a special case of BC1 construction, you will have construction for Lie tuple systems. Now, for this construction, and it's I guess it also probably will remind you the constructions of the type of objects which Erhard considered. So you just take a wedge product. Well, Erhard mod out this anti-commutative relation immediately, but it's, you know, same thing. So you take wedge product of T and you look at span of those elements, mod them out. And this is how you construct sort of L0 part of your Lie algebra. So you consider this vector space, join T to to this quotient space and define product in this way. And what you get is a Z2 graded Lie algebra with canonical map. I mean, T is inside here. And this canonical map turns out to be the universal embedding of T. So for this, for what I'm about to tell you, you know, this new construction, it just allows much more convenience in verifying things. I have a version of this result for representations of Lie tuple systems. And for representations, actually, this construction really gives you something new. For example, it gives you some identities which you use to define representations of Lie tuple system and such. So I'm just telling you that this construction actually gives you, you know, benefits. Well, then, no matter what construction you use, Jacobson construction or the new construction, I mentioned that there is, we have this functor with very nice properties. And I mean, this theorem is almost immediate. I just stated for convenience. So this is a kind of short list of nice properties of the functor L I was talking about. So there is a functor from the category of Lie tuple systems to the category of Z2 graded Lie algebras, which is a left adjoint to the natural forgetful functor R. It is full and faithful. It is also one-to-one on objects, so it sends different objects, and sometimes it's called faithful embedding of one category into another. And because of that, you know that the category of Lie tuple systems is equivalent to some full subcategory of Z2 graded Lie algebras. Well, this is not hard, and again, it follows almost immediately from constructions and some, you know, general facts. But the interesting question here, well, okay, what is the image of this functor L? Is it possible to describe what kind of Lie algebras you get when you apply this functor? It turns out that there is a nice description, and I'm about to present you one. Just before that, I need to convince you that there is a natural way to define, and it is probably done. There's essentially only one way to do that. I need a notion of graded cohomology groups here. And, you know, this... Yes, obviously it is misspelled here. So what you do, you take classical Chevalier-Islander complex, and you just need to notice that that the map delta, in case you have graded objects, you have Z2 graded Lie algebra and Z2 graded module over it, delta preserves grading. Okay, so then you can consider homomorphisms, which, you know, which have degree zero. Now these homomorphisms will form the subgroups in these homomorphisms, and you just consider the corresponding chain. Corresponding complex, and define your cohomology graded cohomology groups to be cohomology of that graded version of Chevalier-Ellenberg complex. By the way, essentially it was done for Lie triple systems with one difference. It was done not for Z2 graded algebras, but for algebras with involutory automorphisms by Harris. Now, if I am to use his results, I would need to assume that 1/2 is there to make connection between involutive automorphisms and Z2 graded. If I just work with Z2 graded objects, I don't need any restrictions. So that's why find it necessary just to repeat what Harris did, to include 1/2. Okay, now if you know what graded cohomology group is, then the image of the category of Lie triple systems inside of the category of Z2 graded Lie algebras can be described in the following way. The image of the functor contains objects such that L is Z2 graded Lie algebra in which L0 is generated, well, L is generated by L1, which just means that L0 is equal to the commutator of L1 and L1. And the second requirement is that the second graded cohomology group of L into every module with trivial grading is zero. If you want to restrict yourself to finite dimensional, maybe characteristic zero, it will just simply mean that the second cohomology group of L is zero. You don't need to talk about modules in this case. Now, another question which occurred to me recently, and I'll tell you why. You know, we know that the category of Lie triple systems is sitting inside of the category of Z2 graded Lie algebras. But then you may ask, well, how big this subcategory? Or what's the difference between this subcategory and the rest? Okay. In fact, I mean, I told you there is some study of modules over Lie triple systems and Lie algebras, and you know, I was prompted by result of Brian Parshall and Terrell Hodge. They proved that for representations, the module category over Lie triple system can be obtained as quotient category of modules over its universal embedding. So analog here would be to say, well, probably LTS is a quotient category of LAZ2. I mean, the problem is that when you look at modules, there's a nice abelian categories. Categories of Lie algebras and categories of Lie triple systems are not abelian. So you really have to look for some general version to state or to ask this question. So, you know, lately I've been looking through category theory literature trying to find appropriate tools. It's not as nice, but there is some version of saying that. Instead of a quotient category, I have to be talking about localization of a category, and I will try to explain why it is sort of the same thing. You know, together with the functor L with brackets, we can kind of, or it induces the functor just on category of Z2 graded Lie algebras, which is simply defined in this way, but on objects it acts in the following way. What you do for an arbitrary Z2 graded Lie algebra, you just consider corresponding construction of L1. Okay. Well, it turned out, and it's easy to check, that this functor is colocalizing, which means the following three things. There is actually the notion of localizing functor, which you can guess it's a dual of what you see there. But colocalizing means that there is a natural transformation from functor C to the identity functor. Now, if you look at if you look at eta acting on from C squared to C, then in fact what you're given is natural equivalences for any object, and also they are sort of commute. So this C and this natural transformation commute for every object L. Now, let me try to explain why it is sort of being quotient. We heard some talks about localization, about joining fractions to objects of your interest, and that's what kind of localization does for you. Now, in category theory, I mean, if you think about classical notion of quotient category, it is obtained by, in a way, by adding, by making certain morphisms invertible, right? Now, effect of making certain morphisms invertible kills object. I mean, if you have more invertible morphisms, more objects of your category start being isomorphic to zero object. So what happens here is that the kind of objects this functor kills are objects with trivial gradient. So it's some weak version of saying that if you take the category of Z2 graded Lie algebras and factor out Lie algebras with trivial grading, then what you get is the category of Lie triple system. I mean, it is not surprising, no, but it's kind of result which you would like maybe to see or have rights to expect. Anyway, just let me finish by showing you a nice application of this result. You know, the results which connect Lie triple systems with Lie algebras can be lifted to connection between symmetric spaces and Lie groups. And let me remind you that a symmetric space is a real manifold with a differential map called symmetry at every point, and these maps satisfy the following three assumptions. And you can sort of see from identities why they're called symmetries. And by the way, this is kind of algebraic definition of symmetric spaces done by Laws, and it's likely that in textbooks on differential geometries you would see a different definition. I just want to note that, you know, these definitions are not equivalent, but they coincide on kind of important examples. And in some sense, I think, you know, my functor here, which you're about to see, explains in a sense why they coincide on important examples. But anyway, let's go back to examples of symmetric space. Every Lie group is a symmetric space because it has a symmetry at any point. Okay. Converse is not true. I mean, if you consider a sphere in three-dimensional space, it is a symmetric space, but not a Lie group. And again, there is a kind of canonical example. I call it main example. What you need to consider here, you need to consider the a Lie group with involution and look at the following subset of G. Okay. So it turns out that it is a symmetric space under sort of with the same symmetries, and it was proven by laws that every symmetric space can be obtained in this way. So now, you know, connecting Lie groups with Lie algebras, yeah, I guess I haven't told you yet that Lie tuple systems play the role, the same role as Lie algebras play for Lie groups. I mean, tangent space at any point of symmetric space, tangent space has a structure of Lie tuple system. And there is a commutative diagram of categories here. So this is our forgetful functor going from Lie algebras to Lie tuple systems. Here is the construction I mentioned earlier. Yeah. This, by the way, these are called symmetric. Never mind how they call them. It's not important. So with every Lie group G with involution, you can associate a symmetric space, and that's it. Immediately can be seen that it gives you functor from here to here. Now you have that functor which associates a Lie algebra with every Lie group. Now if your Lie group has involution, involutive automorphism, it gives you involutive automorphism on your Lie algebra, and hence the two grading. Okay, so actually you end up in the right category here. Also, you know, this association not only gives you symmetric space, actually it gives you pointed symmetric space, because the identity element in the group plays special role for this symmetric space. Okay, and then if you consider, again, it's just, there is a corresponding functor here. If you consider the tangent space at this point, you will get Lie tuple system. Now, to invert these errors, we have to make more restrictions. We consider connected, simply connected Lie algebras, connected, simply connected symmetric spaces. And actually here we need to consider finite dimensional Lie algebras and triple systems, okay? But then, so let's see, we there are too many errors here, but I mean, these become equivalent, okay? These are not equivalent, but we know that this functor L is embedding, right? So composing appropriate errors, we have embedding of symmetric spaces into the category of Lie groups with involution, which is, okay. But the description which we gave for Lie algebras gives us description of the image of this embedding. And it, essentially, it's corollary of previous theorem. There is just one simple lemma between theorem A and theorem B. So the category of symmetric spaces is equivalent to the full subcategory of, yes, the category of connected, simply connected symmetric, pointed symmetric spaces is equivalent to the full, yes, another typo, I'm sorry, to the full subcategory of connected, simply connected Lie groups with involutions, and the objects of this subcategory are described below. G is generated by its symmetric elements, and the some second cohomology group is zero. Thank you.
Any questions? Yes. So the adjoint filter theorem gives you some general conditions under which a left adjoint for your functor can occur.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if,
Um, I mean, there is no, you know, the functors are there already. I mean, I'm just, what I'm trying to say. You know, the universal construction is useful kind of regardless of these functorial connections, okay? Functors are there, you don't have to invent them. You just, I mean, they just give you kind of nice setup for asking questions, essentially. What's not clear is what these functors give you. But, I mean, you're right, and I try to convey to you that, yes, it is things that one is a joint of the other, it's just really abstract nonsense, and some people call it, so it's really not a big deal.
Any other?
Is there an example in which L is generated by L1, but H2 is not zero?
Yes, I believe so. I guess I cannot give you right away, but I mean the thing is that, you know, the condition of L0 being generated by L1, it's sort of like a perfectness condition for Lie algebras, and there are, I believe, again, there are perfect Lie algebras with non-trivial cohomology groups.
Any other questions?
I have a comment I want to make. Maybe before I make my comment, we can thank all the way again for this
talk. Thank you.
Okay. I also have 5 minutes.
Well, let me make my comment first, and then you can have a presentation, okay? So age before beauty. So my comment is, I just want to say, I'm really very, very pleased with this meeting that we've had here, and I really think it shows the breadth and